We read here in Ephesians chapter 4. This first verse caught my attention. As you know, the teachers, we went up to Charlottesville this past Thursday and Friday. We learned a lot. Learned a lot of what we're doing wrong and how to fix it. Learned a lot of what we're doing right and how to keep doing it. And we learned a lot from the Lord about what He wants us to do. And as I read this verse here in Ephesians chapter 4 and then worked down to verse number 6, the Lord got a hold of me. And this morning, what I would like for you to do is listen as I tell you what God told me. Now you say, it doesn't apply to me. That's fine. He didn't necessarily tell you. He told me. But maybe you can learn some things from what God told me, talked to me about. You see here in verse number 1, we're not getting going yet. Don't get nervous. All right. Verse number 1, the second word is therefore. That's a word that I love. Why? Because it gives you some direction. It says, hey, did you read the passage before this? Because if you didn't, you're not going to get it. And so if we go back into the end of chapter 3, there's a verse here I want you. We could read all of chapter 3, but for the sake of time, we won't. But the summation of chapter number 3 is found in verses 19 through 21. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. God desires for us to be spiritually full every day. How do we get that? By knowing the love of Christ. You say, well, I don't feel full. Okay, read verse 20. Now unto him, who's that? That's Jesus. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now here's where we get in trouble. We don't read the rest of the verse. According to the power that worketh in us. Some of us say, well, God hasn't talked to me in I don't know how long. It's not his fault. His power's there. It wants to work in you. Have you put the lid on it? All right? God worked me over on that this morning. If I want to see God do great things, I have to let him. It means I have to get out of the way. Let him do. God wants to. He has the power to. He has a plan to. Got to get out of the way. So how are we going to be filled with the fullness of God? We have to know the love of Christ. And we have to ask. But it doesn't just say the things we're afraid to. You know, ever had anything you're afraid to ask? Sometimes there's questions I'm afraid to ask because I don't know if I want to know the answer. All right? I work with children all the time. Sometimes I don't want to ask. And there's sometimes I don't ask. I don't want to know. And sometimes I'll even verbalize that. I say, Mr. Davies, guess what? I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Why? Because if I know, then I might have to do something. Right? But the truth of the matter is, God has the power to answer exceedingly abundantly above what you could even dream of. We keep coming back to this Family Life Center, guys. You know why? God's trying to say something. I don't have a clue. I could give sacrificially, so we ate beans and rice. Amen, Brother Johnny, beans and rice. All right? We'll tell you all about Dave Ramsey later. We could eat beans and rice for the next year, and guess what? The money that I could give wouldn't make it happen. You know why? I'm not the one that has to do it. Now, if God says, hey, Christmas gift to Jesus, you better get it. He said, well, God, you know, I got to buy grandkids birthday presents and Christmas presents, and I got to buy gas, and I got to have coffee, you know. And all. You willing to do what God tells you to do? Do it and watch him show you how he can. That's not even the message. I don't know where that came from. All right. If that was you, and that's an 11 and a half wide, and that fits you, we're in good health. Amen. Verse number 21, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. How is God going to get glory in the church? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because when we get to verse number 1 of chapter 4, it says, therefore, according to verse number 21 of chapter number 3, how are we going to bring God glory in the church? This is how. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. You ever had a fight with somebody? I ask that kind of rhetorical. If you haven't had a fight, you haven't been living very long. In fact, you probably haven't been alive. My son's too, and he has fights all the time. All right? One of the hardest things to find and to latch onto is getting along with people. You ever heard somebody say, well, if it wasn't for the people, my job would be great. Amen. But if it wasn't for the people, my job wouldn't exist. You say, well, I'm going to find a job where I don't have to. I told my wife, about 3 years ago. She said, if you could build any house you want, wherever you want, where would it be? In the middle of Montana, and there ain't no neighbors around for 50 miles. And I got a nice big house all by, see, all these guys are here, amen, yeah, preach it. But you know what, I got a problem with that. It's real hard to witness if you live 50 miles away from the nearest person. Now, maybe I'll just get a vacation home. I could just go a couple weeks during the summer, a couple weeks during the winter, you know, take the month of December, right? Whatever I got to do. Truth of the matter is, God's called us to people. God's called us to people. Now you say, yes, we should take the gospel. I agree. That's not what we're talking about this morning. Don't shoot me yet. Listen to the whole sermon and shoot me afterwards, okay? You ready? God has called all of us here. Which means if there's somebody in the church you don't like, God put you here. God put them here. You say, well, I can't get along. You know why? Only by pride cometh contention. I know it's hard to believe, but there are some times where I get sideways with my wife. Sometimes. Not very often. And 95% of the time, it's my fault. All right. But you know what I found? Most of the time when I get sideways, you know why? Because my heart's not right. He said, well, Mr. Davies, we ain't going to preach about getting along with people, are we? No, not really. We're just getting warmed up. This morning, we're going to talk about unity. What's unity? Everybody being in the same spot. Man, that's hard. Anybody work with people you don't like? It's okay. If teachers, you can raise your hand. I know it's me. Just raise your hand. It's okay. Amen. Don't y'all be spiritual. Raise your hand. You ever work with people that they ain't here, hopefully. You raise your hand. You ever work with people? Amen. Okay. Some of us are normal. If you work with people and you like everybody, you're going to pay attention. Pay attention. How many of you have trouble? All right. Now, don't wave your hand and raise your hand and wave it around, okay? How many of you live in a house with people you can't get along with? John's going to get shot at your service. You know why? Now, in all seriousness, part of that's a joke, but the other part's not. You know why we have trouble getting along with the people we live with? Because we're selfish sinners. As we look here in Ephesians chapter 4, you got to see this morning. When Paul's writing this book to the Ephesians, he's saying, listen, guys, I know there's a lot of people that don't get along. But for the love of Christ, we ought to be able to say, you know what? Yeah, I don't agree, but that's my brother. That's my sister in Christ. And we're okay with that until we get to the point where he says, you need to put yourself in the back seat and let them drive. That's scary. Well, what if my voice isn't heard? God hears everybody. See, we have this burning desire to be at the top of the food chain, at the top of the ladder, the guy on the top of the pile. I'm going to be the guy that's in charge, and guess what happens? We're willing to do anything to anyone to get there. And we miss the purpose of unity. And when we zoom that into our church, please hear me, unity is the only way we move forward. And what's unity mean? Everybody's got to go on the same page. You say, well, I would be on the same page. Everybody get on my page. Right. That's the problem. We all ought to be on the same page. Whose page should we be on? God's page. Right. Good. I'm glad nobody said the pastor. Why? Because he would be mad. You don't need to be on pastor's page. You need to be on God's page. But I'll tell you this. I've worked under at least 4 pastors. And I can count on one hand. One hand. The amount of times that the pastor said, hey guys, here's what we're going to do, and he was wrong. One hand. And I will say this, pastor probably won't listen to this message, so he won't ever hear this. Most of those men were not nearly as close to God as our pastor is now. I'm being entirely honest. That's not me being loyal. That's not me tooting his horn. That's me saying, I've been there. I've worked for different people, and I can tell you for a fact, our pastor has the touch of God. And so when we look at unity this morning, the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4 is calling us to be unified. This morning, with the Lord's help, I'd like to speak to you on the topic of the plea for unity. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, I need you this morning. I need you to clear my heart, clear my mind. Lord, give me exactly what you want said this morning. Father, help me not to say anything that shouldn't be said. Speak to my heart again this morning. Lord, may our church come together behind you. May we be willing to serve and to be obedient. Father, help us as we look into your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we enter chapter number 4 here in the book of Ephesians, there is one overarching focus that is presented to us, and it's kind of set up in verse number 21. How are we going to bring Christ glory in this church? Well, it's by using the power that he has already placed inside of us. That power is the Holy Ghost. That power is the Holy Ghost. And guess what? If we decide to bottleneck the Holy Ghost, we will not be in unity with the people around us. I'm not saying we will never get sideways. We will. There will be times where we will get sideways of each other. But please understand, that's a temporary situation. By temporary, I think I stand on good ground in the Bible when I say a temporary solution being less than a day. If you're still mad at somebody from yesterday, get your heart right. Sorry, that was a little pointed. That's the truth, though. If I'm sideways with my wife, what's the Bible say? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I ought to get it right. What does that mean? If I get sideways, I need to get along with God. Say, God, what's going on? Am I right? Am I wrong? God only says, get your heart right. Now, I'm not saying I'm always at fault. I'm not saying I'm 100% of the problem. But I carry a whole part of it. Many times we're not willing to accept our problem. You've got to live in reality. Brothers and sisters, you've got to live in the reality that you are a sinner. I know that's a surprise. You're a sinner. What does that mean? You do things wrong. Guess what? That means you do things wrong every single day. And if you don't spend time confessing those to the Lord, the Holy Spirit has been muted in your life. Now, as we look at this, I want to give you three things that we should be unified in as a church. What should we be unified in? All right? What should we be unified in? We should be unified, number one, in our pursuit. In our pursuit. Look at what it says in verse number 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Paul is begging the people at Ephesus to do something. What should they do? They should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Brother Frank up here works for Deca Battery. Right? Deca Battery. I knew Deca Battery because they had a plant near my house where I grew up. You don't work for Deca. You get paid by Deca. You spend a lot of your time messing around with stuff at Deca. You don't work for Deca. I don't work for the school. You say, wait a minute. I don't even work for pastor. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn. Don't get nervous. What's our vocation? What is our job? Spread the gospel. To spread the gospel. We find if we study in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there was a gentleman that got saved and decided, God wants me to preach. And he started preaching. And nobody had taught him what he ought to say. And he just was preaching, and then some of the older men of the faith had to say, come here a second, let's talk. And they went down and had a little powwow, and they ironed him out. You say, did they do it wrong? No, they said, hey, your heart's right. You're trying to serve. But you need to kind of tweak the way you're delivering, or tweak some of the doctrines you're working on. You see, when we look at our pursuit, what's our pursuit? Our pursuit is our vocation, our job that God has given each one of us. And we say, well, our job is to carry out the gospel, to give it to those people around us. Amen. But that's not the whole picture. You say, is that all Christ did? No. You say, wait a minute. That's all Christ didn't give the gospel ever. He did. But you know what else he did? He cared for a grieving mother whose child had died. He came alongside Peter and said, Peter, I'm praying for you, buddy. It's going to get hard here soon. And God needs you. I'm praying for you. And you know what he did? He went over here and he had a bunch of little kids came over to him and said, here, come on up here. Sit down. He talked with those little kids. You know what? I'm pretty sure those little kids said, Jesus, can you explain the plan of salvation to me? I don't think they said, Jesus, look at this stick I found. Do you see this rock I got? This is my pet rock. All right. My children brought rocks in the house yesterday. Not a rock. It's huge. What's that? Oh, it's a rock we found. Okay, why is it in the house? It's my rock. Okay, why is it in the house? It's not dirty. I'm pretty sure when Jesus sat down with those children around him, and the disciples saying, shoo, 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 go. Jesus said, stop for the little children to come to you. What was Jesus doing? He was having an impact in a non-ministry setting. What does that mean? That means you ought to be carrying out the gospel when you're not here. When you're at work, when you're at McDonald's, when you're at a sporting event, when you're sitting at home in the evening. Jesus didn't just say the only thing you have to do is spread the gospel. No, Jesus said you need to live like I did. In our pursuit. What's our pursuit? We need to be unified. Remember, we're talking about how we should be unified. We need to be unified in the thing we're supposed to focus on. The thing we're supposed to focus on. What are we supposed to focus on? People. This is where it gets hard. Anybody have a different idea than me? Y'all remember, raise your hand because you do. We all have different ideas, right? Ideas of what we could get into a fight about what the best restaurant in Wytheville is. Okay? We could. No, I like this one over here. You say that's a dumb thing to get in a fight about. I agree. I've seen stupider stuff happen in churches. Alright? We all joke about, well, they got in a fight and they split the church over the color of the walls. Nah, that wouldn't really happen, would it? It has. You say, why would people argue about that? Why? Because they're not unified. My idea is better than yours. My ideas are better than Bethany's. Why? Because I'm better than her. And you say, I would never say that, but we think it in our heart, don't we? We think in our heart. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about parenting. And how when we have children, they show us what's wrong with us. Yeah. It's like looking in the mirror, but a really small mirror. And it aims right at where you're living. You say, why do my children fight all the time? Maybe I'll look in the mirror. You know what I found with unity? If I look at myself, I find the problem. Because if I get my heart right, you know what happens? The other person realizes, they're not coming after me. They're not like, you're wrong! You know what? I was wrong. And so you know I was wrong too. All right, let's do this together. See, we've got to be unified in our pursuit. When we look at this pursuit that we're called to, it's our vocation of being a Christian, carrying out the gospel. But look what it says. What are the characteristics of carrying out the vocation wherewith we are called? Well, look at verse number 2. This is where I got my clock clean. You know what that means, right? God just went, got me. Look at verse number 2. How do we walk worthy? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ouch. You know what lowliness is? It's giving place, letting someone else go before you, putting them above you, putting their opinion above you, letting someone go in front of you, or giving place to those that are greater than you. All right, now some of you are like, well, there's nobody greater than me. We'll preach on that next week. All right. But the truth of the matter is, we like to put ourselves at the front, don't we? We like to be out in the limelight. You say, I don't like being in the spotlight. No, but you like getting credit. Why? Because you're human, just like all the rest of us. Lowliness is putting somebody who's greater than us above us, like we should. But what's meekness? Now we're getting in trouble. Meekness is giving place to those people that are not as good as us. That's not me saying, well, I do that better, so I'll do it. No. Meekness is putting myself at the back of the line because that's what God calls me to do. Not because I want to, not because I deserve to be there, because that's what God wants me to do. See, this is where unity happens. This is where unity happens. What's long suffering? I'm sorry for what this is going to sound like. Long-suffering is what Jesus is with us. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I already know the answer. All of us sin every day, don't we? I think it'd be safe to say that all of us sin probably every hour. Jesus still puts up with you. Okay? You know what long-suffering is? Putting up with those people that are just like you. And putting up with me. And putting up with everybody else. Why? Jesus called us to. Remember, our goal is to be unifying. And then what's forbearing one another in love? That sounds like a really hard thing to do. It is. What's forbearing in love? Get this. You ever been hurt? Yes, we all have been hurt, okay? You ever had a hard time forgiving that person that hurt you? Yeah, me too. You know what forbearing in love is? I heard it put this way this weekend. It never had occurred to me this way, but as soon as the gentleman I was listening to said this, it clicked. You know what forbearing in love is? It's hurdling the hurt that we're experiencing in our life to love that person on the other side. That hurt staring us in the face. We can't get past it. Why? Because we're thinking about us. When we jump over that hurt, say, God, help me. We jump over that hurt. We get on the other side. Guess what we do? We love that person. We love them for Christ's sake. We don't love them just, well, I just forgive everybody. Doesn't matter what you do, I'll forgive you. If somebody says that, hopefully they're being honest, but truth of the matter is, all of us struggle with forgiveness at one point or the other. And forbearing one another in love is where we say, you know what, I'm going over the hurt, I'm ignoring it, yeah, it hurts, but God can heal my hurts, I'm going to go past it, and I'm going to love this person for Christ's sake. We got to be unified in our pursuit, what we're supposed to do. What does that mean? If we have a church that has people that are proud, people that want to be at the front of the line, look at me, we're not going to be unified. Say, my opinion's more important, y'all ought to listen to me, we're not going to be unified. Unified in our pursuit. Number two, unified in our priority. Unified in our priority. What's our priority? Look at verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a couple things that are here. Don't miss them. Where does the unity come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Those that are right with God have no problem being in unity. You didn't hear me. Those that are right with God have no problem being in unity. That's me. When am I contrary? When am I cantankerous? When I'm not right with God. So how do we keep the unity of the Spirit? We strive for the bond of peace. But look at the beginning of the verse. It says, endeavoring to keep. What does that mean? Unity can be lost. You know what endeavoring means? I'm working and I'm working and I'm working and I'm working. And I'm working at keeping this bond together. Why? Because it's not easy. You know what we need to do? This doesn't make sense to us because it should just happen, right? We need to put unity on our to-do list. We need to pray. Every morning we pray a lot of times. We say, Lord, help me today. Help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to honor you. You need to add something to that list. Help me to be in unity with the people around me. Why? That's how people know we love God. We're supposed to endeavor to keep this bond of unity. We got to work at it. We got to work at it every day. And guess what? There may be a day where it gets broken. We got to stop, recalibrate to where we need to be. Say, God, help me to restore this bond. How do we restore the bond? Look back at verse number 2. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. We have to make daily plans to be in unity. I heard a saying once that annoyed the fire out of me. It still annoys me today. It says, failing to plan is planning to fail. Some guy came up with that, thought he was the smartest guy in the world because it rhymed. Failing to plan is planning to fail. But you know what? It's true. I don't like it. It's still true. And if I don't make a plan every morning to be in unity, I'm going to fail. I am going to fail. You ever have your children fight? All right? I'm not talking about, like yelling, screaming, smacking, you know, like knockdown, drag out fight. Children have them. Parents, you say, my child never did it. They were really good at hiding it. Because everybody I know did it. You know why they fight? We said, because they're selfish. Amen. Just like the parents. Right? And guess what? Why are they selfish? Because they didn't start the day saying, God, help me to do what you want me to do. You say, well, they're only four. Okay. They got a sin nature. They don't know how to read yet. They can't be in God's word. Understand. But what should we teach them? We're working with a couple of our children now. First thing every morning, what do you need to do? You need to read your Bible. Why? It's not just something we do. It helps you get through your day. We can see it. She read her Bible this morning. You notice how there only been a couple fights. It's been a good day. She doesn't see it. But it has to be a priority for us. We have to put it at the top of the list. Father, help me to be in unity. Help me to make the choice. I mean, you know, unity doesn't just happen, right? All right? Some of you who are not married in here, I speak to you. Okay, you ready? Love doesn't just happen. It's not just a magical thing. You just, and our eyes met and just, no, that's not love. You missed it. Love's a choice. How many of you know love's a choice? Amen. All right? Why? I choose to love my wife every day. What does that mean? No matter what she does, I still love her. She said, does she do stuff? Not usually. But when we're talking about unity, you know how unity works? I choose to be in unity with her. I choose to be. What does that mean? Sometimes I got to overlook stuff. Sometimes she's got to overlook stuff with me. To be in unity. What does that mean as a church? Sometimes you got to overlook stuff. Sometimes you just got to let it be what it is. Move on. You say, but it's wrong. Is it Bible wrong or you just don't like it? Because I find most of the time it's because I don't like it. All right? There's a lot of things you can tell I live in the realm of food. There's a lot of things I don't like. And I think I got Bible definition for it. Right? Like pickles. If God wanted to be a pickle, he would have made it that way. He didn't make it that way. He made it as cucumber. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. I said, but I like pickles. That's fine. We'll pray for you later. All right. Just because I don't like it doesn't change a thing, does it? It doesn't. I may be mad. I may get cranky. I may yell at people, but it still doesn't change the fact that my priority ought to be in unity. It's going to happen. It's going to happen tomorrow, probably. It may happen today on the way home. Unity will be broken. And what do we need to do? I need to make it a priority to be in unity. I need to remember what our focus is. Truth of the matter is, if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, we find the serpent shows up in the garden. Well, what does he say? Yea, hath God said. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's creating disunity. He says, did God really say that? Are you sure? And he says, well, you know, that's a good question. What's she doing? She's destroying the unity between her and God. She didn't get up that morning and say, God is my creator, and I will follow him. The devil still uses that exact same thing. The exact same thing today. Disunity is the oldest tool the devil uses. If we read Matthew chapter 12, we find that disunity is what destroys corporates. I say corporates like countries, nations, kingdoms, churches. House divided against itself shall not stand. A church divided against itself shall not stand. You say, well, I just don't agree. That's okay. Doesn't mean we have to break unity. You don't understand there's a difference, too, between unity and uniformity. Unity doesn't mean we all look the same. Thank the Lord. I wouldn't want to preach if y'all looked like me. I'd have walked out. I'm not chasing it. 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians. I want to read something to you. We'll look here. We first talked about we should be unified in our pursuits. And we should be unified in our priorities. And then number three, we should be unified in our potpourri. How many of you don't know what potpourri is? Anybody? Okay, good. It's a weird word. Let's put it that way, okay? Miss Becky, thank you. I want to thank Miss Becky publicly. This is her potpourri. If you don't like it, blame her, okay? She was the only one I could think of that might have potpourri at her house. I'm not sure what that says, Miss Becky. I apologize for if it sounds poorly. All right? You know what potpourri is? It's a device we put in our house to make it smell nice. It's the old school version of a candle. That's what it is. And what do we use? I remember at my mom's house when we were younger, she tried to do this a couple years, where you put a pot on the stove, you put a little water in there, and then you put little orange peels and these little weird looking things you put in the side of an orange, whatever they're called, and nut cloves, yes, thank you, and a little nutmeg, and then you turn it on real low and you let it simmer, and just the smell comes out and it permeates the house. It smells very holiday-ish, right? And then if you don't remember it, it burns. And that ruins the effect, okay? Thankfully, this is dry potpourri. But you know what potpourri is filled with? A bunch of different stuff. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse number 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Look at verse number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You know what unity relies on? This is counterintuitive. Listen, you know what unity relies on? Each one of us being different. Why? Because if everybody were like me, we'd have a problem. You think about your body, right? Now, visually, in your mind, do this. Imagine if everything on your body was your thumb. You have a thumb for an ear, thumb for a nose, thumbs for eyes, okay? So that'd be kind of weird. Yeah, why? It's not designed that way. Each one of these fingers does a different job. Each body part does a different job. But all of them are essential. See, the diversity that we have is given to us by God through the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose? For everybody to do what their gift is. Now, we're not talking about sign gifts, speaking in tongues, healing people, okay? What we're talking about, you have something you're good at. Now, let me say this. I'm going to get in trouble. Just because you think you're good at it doesn't mean it's true. Go ask your neighbor. Turn to your husband or wife, say, am I really good at this? If they say no, pray more, okay? Why? Because I'm really good at art. And then you see them drawing, you're like, why don't you teach the little children? That way they won't know, right? Or some, I've had people say, oh, I can sing. All right, well, I'll stand next to you in church and I'll listen. I stand next to them in church and I'm, well, okay. Diversity doesn't mean I can do everything you can do. Doesn't mean I can do everything as good as somebody else. But what does it mean? God's given me a talent. I ought to use it. You say, well, my talent's not preaching. Good, because if we had a church full of preachers, this would be a rough place to live. You say, my talent's not working with young people. Okay, that's good. There's a whole lot of people in this church that ain't young people. Find something to do. You say, well, you know, I can't be here every week. I work every other Sunday. Fine. It's a good thing everybody doesn't work every other Sunday, because that'd be a rough time to preach on the off Sunday. But there's something you do. You see, the church is really similar to potpourri. You take each one of those pieces by itself, it may smell okay, but it's like, it's not great. It's okay. But what happens? When we put them all together, and we put them in a jar, and we mix them all together, what do we have? A beautiful smell. What's the Bible say in the book of Psalms? What's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord? Broken and contrite heart? A church that's in unity? I live my life in the sports arena. I play a lot of different sports. You know what I found? If you got one clown on the team who ain't paying attention, it hurts. We're trying to teach the guys that practice this. If there's one guy being a dummy, one guy clowning around, joking off, guess what? Everybody's running. Go. Come on, man. Get it together. What are you doing? You know, we're trying to teach them. It's a team. Be a team player. You know what the hard part is? I've had this happen. We've had people on the team, and 4 out of the 5 were good at pretty much everything. They could literally do everything you asked them. And they may not be perfect, but they're pretty good. And then you have to decide, what position is this guy playing? That's a good question. What do we do? What are you good at? What are you the best at? Then do it. You see, we have to be unified in our diversity. You say, that doesn't sound right. It is. If we're unified in our diversity, what is our church able to do? Our church is able to reach out and touch every single type of person in the Wythville area. Every single type of person. You say, well, I'm too old to go out and visit people on Thursday night. Fine. We got some shut-ins that are probably friends of yours. Why don't you go visit them? Just go over and say, hey, I'm going to come over and have coffee with you. I'll come sit and talk. You say, well, is that really doing this? Yeah. What are you supposed to do? Not forget the fatherless and the widows. Care for somebody. You say, well, I can't get out. It's too much when you got. Okay, you got a phone? Call somebody. Call somebody. You say, well, I'm young enough and I'm mobile enough, I can get out. Then you best ought to use your gift. What does it say? Our body is made up of many members, but it's still one body. The keynote speaker at our conference this weekend is a gentleman from North Carolina. And he's missing his thumb on his left hand. But you'd never know it. I didn't notice it until I had him in a session where there's only 5 or 10 of us. And I thought, he ain't got a thumb on his hand. And I started watching. Sure enough, he doesn't. You can't tell. Why? Because he's taught his fingers to pick up the slack, no pun intended. All right. He taught his fingers to do what his thumb isn't there to do now. He could pick up a glass with just his fingers. He can hold his Bible with just his fingers. He can hold his phone with just his fingers. I was impressed. He spreads out puts his phone right in there and he type just as fast as everybody else. Can you make it without a thumb? Yeah. Is it harder? You better believe it. Statistically, in every Baptist church, I say that's an exaggeration. Most Baptist churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I'm not speaking all me. Why? There's a lot of gifts not being used. A lot of gifts not being used. How do we fix that? We have to be unified. You say, well, unity's hard. I agree. So is the Christian walk. You know what we need to do? We need to quit focusing on what divides us and focus on what unites us. You know what unites us? Look here. He made a list for us. Look back in Ephesians chapter 4. What unites us as Christians? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5, and we'll be done. What unites us? Verse number 4. There's one body. That's us. We're a church. That's a point of unity. And one spirit. You've been saved. Holy Spirit's inside of you. That unites us. One hope. We're all waiting for Jesus to come back. If you're not, you need to get your focus right. That unites us. One Lord. Everybody in here that's been saved by Jesus Christ alone. Nobody got in by working. Nobody got in by being a good person. Jesus is the only way. One faith. What do we believe? It's right here. One baptism. There's only one way. And what does it say in verse number 6? This is the Apostle Paul saying, this is what you are supposed to be doing. That's verse number 6 where he's pointing and rubbing it in. Watch. One God and Father of all. Jesus Christ is our Savior. God is our Father. And He cares for each one of us. But look what it says. Who is above all. He's better than everybody. And through all, He works through everybody that will let Him. And what's it say at the end? And in you all. If you've been saved, Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. And so why can't you get along? There was a popular slogan years ago. Why can't we all just be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we all just get along? I'll tell you why, because we're all sinners. But when we're unified by a Holy Spirit that works the same in each one of us, there is never a reason to not get along. So what? Well, that's all good and all, but what do you want me to do? Well, the Lord will tell you. But I can tell you on the authority of God's Word, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get along. You got something against a brother or sister in here, you best don't get it ironed out. Now. Why? Well, we're divided. It is the spiritual equivalent of voting to close our church down. Please hear me. If you choose not to get along with people in this room, people in our church, you are literally saying, these people are not good enough to be part of my church. That's what you're saying. You say, well, I would never say that. No, because most of us have developed social graces where we don't say things we ought not to. But that's what we're saying by our actions. So what ought we to do? We ought to step back and look at the source of the disunity. And it's the one you look at in the mirror every day. What's God want us to do? He wants us to be unified in our pursuit. What we're after. We're after reaching the lost, doing everything we can to win the lost. So what should we do? Anything it takes. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes some effort. Sometimes it takes some work and sweat. Sometimes it takes money. Sometimes it takes pouring yourself into something. We've got to be unified in our priority. Who comes first in this place? You ready? Everybody else. Everybody else. What's that mean? You say, well, I don't know if this is the right decision for us to make as a church. Why? Got a Bible verse? Well, I just don't like it. Okay, that's all right that you don't like it. But what you like shouldn't enter into whether you unify with your church. Got a business meeting coming up. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Okay. So I'm not thinking on anything yet. But you know what? I've been in some business meetings where somebody had an opinion. And they were not shy about expressing it. And you know what they're saying? I'm the most important person in the room. I'm the one who should make this decision. You should all listen to me. That's not unity. We should also be unified in what? Our diversity. Now, diversity is a catchphrase today that we say, oh, that's a bad word. It's associated with bad things. All right? No. Diversity is the way God created us. We ought to appreciate the different people. I'm glad Miss Bethany's here. I can't play the piano. I can't. It would sound bad. I'm glad she's here. I'm glad Miss Becky's here. She decorates. Okay? Don't mess anything up, Miss Becky. Now everybody's watching. All right? She's got potpourri. Right? I'm glad she does that. Why? I can't do that. I can't. I have no decorator's taste at all. You know what I'm really bad at? This is going to sound dumb. Picking out fonts for PowerPoints. You say, is that the biggest thing on your plate? Yeah, I want things to look good. A lot of times our posts on Facebook are all people will see of our church until they come into our doors. I literally, is it that hard? Yeah, you ought to open up a typing program one time. There's like 8 million different possible fonts you could choose. And apparently, I didn't know this, there's some fonts that say things by the way the letter's shaped. I ain't got a clue. So what do? I go find somebody in our church that knows those kind of things. Our pastor. And I say, hey, look at this font. Tell me what you think. I asked my wife, I said, what do you think of the font? She's like, oh, it's bad. I was like, I knew that. What should I do? She said, here, give it to me. And what you see is the result. What did I know? There's a diversity. I don't have the advantage. I'm not the skilled one. What do I need to do? I need to say, hey, you go ahead. Do it. Get it done. You see, our unity is not based on what I think, what I can do, how I can serve the Lord. Our unity is based on who do we serve and what does He call me to do. You say, well, I struggle with unity. Okay. Me too. I'm a selfish person. Selfishness is the enemy of unity. So what do I need to do? I need to get on my face before God and say, God, help me. Help me to be unselfish. Help me to give when I want to take. Help me to be quiet when I want to be the one to speak. Help me to be kind when I want to just be mean and clean somebody's clock. Help me to be in unity with the people God has called to be in this church at this moment with me. Help me to do what I'm supposed to before you. Father, help us today. Lord, you know that every church at one point or another will struggle with unity. And Father, you know that we as a church sometimes struggle with unity because we're filled with sinners. Lord, help us to be like you. Help us to yield ourselves to your kingdom, to your will, to your Holy Spirit. Help us to be tender to you. Father, you know that we so often struggle with our flesh. Help us to be obedient to your word. To your wisdom. Father, be with us in this invitation time. Help us to be tender.